MMA Roadshow, episode number 401. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me. We're back together. We're starting on another round of 400. I mean, another round of 100 to get to another big number, to get to 500 straight, which would be, takes like 2 years to get to those. But we'll get there. Good to be back with you. Sorry we were apart for the landmark 400th episode, but we still got together electronically.
I mean, we were together, I'm pretty sure, for 100, 200. 300.
400, we're not there. I mean, it just happens.
All right, we got a 75% for the
on
big
the
ones.
100th rate. Yeah. Well, on to another start, man. It was a good one. Good weekend in New York, obviously.
You had some really good memories, man. I was digging all the pics of the family getting to see a lot of stuff. I mean, and that's the goal. I mean, like, if you're going to be able to have to do this circus and travel and do the other shit, you know, to be able to reward your family with something like that. I mean, I'm sure your credit card bills and other stuff and the bank account is not going to be happy. But for the memories, I mean, like, he'll have that forever, you know, and she'll have that forever. So, you know, that's good. That's good.
It was cool. No, we had a good time, man. And, you know, I touched on it a little bit last week, but then obviously we had the rest of the week and we really did a lot of fun stuff. And like I was telling my wife, you know, there was like one day left and there were still a bunch of things she wanted to go do. And I was like, get up early and go do them. Like, no matter how tired you are, like, go do them. Like, you don't know when we're going to be back here. Yeah. Like, there's places you... So,
did the Statue of Liberty. That was pretty cool. I've never been over the Statue of Liberty.
I've been up
to New York quite a bit, but I never have really had the time to kind of sightsee or whatever.
And it's funny.
I thought that was pretty cool.
My kid actually said that was his favorite part of the trip. Like, the ferry ride out there and kind of being on the water. And
well, that is pretty cool. That's unique.
Yeah.
We don't get many ferry rides out here.
No, not a lot of ferry rides in the Vegas desert. I don't think he'd ever been on – well, he'd been on a boat, like, fishing with my dad.
Not
something like that.
That's cool.
That was pretty exciting for him. He was – we went to the top of One World Trade Center, so he got to see that. And we saw the memorial and talked about that a little bit. You know, they haven't really learned about – the whole thing in school yet. I was like, well, look, when you get to this part and you start learning about it, like, just remember this moment. And, you know, told him a little bit about it. But like you said, memories you create lives. I mean, my dad took me to New York for the first time when I was 12, and I still remember it, you know, at this age. So
it
was cool.
Forget it.
No, it was cool. It was cool. And it really, like I said last week, and it really did resonate with me, man. New York, Manhattan in particular, not always my favorite place.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything rude about it. It's just, man, the crowdness and the trash and
there's trash there?
A little bit.
Like,
you know,
everywhere.
I mean? Just like everywhere. Just, I don't know. It gets to me or whatever. But, again, seeing it through his eyes, a kid for the first time, seeing Manhattan and being like, look at these massive buildings and all this.
You love New York now.
I do.
I set up for every event now.
I had a much better – now, again, I could not afford to do New York again like I did that. But I was like, you know, how many times are we going to be here? I was like, let's go, you know. Did the VIP to the One World Trade Center.
Yeah.
I mean, just
that's big time.
You know what I mean?
Well, and they can't hold that over you anymore. You know, you've done it now.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you're going back to New York? And, you know, I would love to go to New York, John. John, I'd love to. Well,
you've
honey,
already
we
seen
just
everything.
Went. Honey, we just went.
We just went we just 7 went. Years ago.
Yeah. Honey, tell me again when 10 years pass.
That's funny. But no, we had a good time. And listen, man, the event itself was entertaining, man. I thought the PFL did a good job. You know, they kept the pace going. I mean, it's still a long main card.
Still long.
Seven fights on a main card.
Well, the fighters did what they needed to do, I think.
They didn't have all decisions, which could have made it worse. But it seemed like, you know, last year, even though the thing was kind of running long, that they were still like, no, we got to get in this package.
Yeah.
And we got into, you know, hey, we put this video feature together. We got to use it. And I think they really were more in tune to like, hey, you don't have to shove that programming in there. Like, people just want to see fights, you know. And I thought they did a good job. And I just thought the fight results were great. And, of course, the drama in the main event. I mean, the Kayla Harrison loss. And, man, it just, you know, gave you the shocking ending and the upset. It was a solid event, man.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I have heard that quite a bit. Even people on our staff in the latest episode of Spinning Back, like that show that you used to be part of, talked a lot about the pacing and what that was. But yeah, to go back to that, the PFL. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, you know, I think it was the right decision, you know, of giving Larissa the decision. I'm like, of course it was.
Definitely.
I was like, what fight were anybody else watching to think that it wasn't
100%
clearly in her favor?
It was 2-2 going, but it was exciting because it was 2-2 going into the fifth.
Yeah,
and then even the fifth was back and forth.
It was back and forth,
but
I mean,
to value the damage that Larissa did early,
and
on.
That was like clearly through the whole fight.
Yeah.
You know, like she was always in. dominating positions, was always giving Kayla, like, just the better of everything. Mm-hmm. The only reason why it didn't seem more dominant in her fashion is because Kayla's just so darn good that she was able to get out and survive some certain situations that a lot of other people. It's funny, everybody was like, oh, Larissa's the strongest hitting. It wasn't even like her striking did great, but it was all the work on the ground.
It was striking, that was really landing in the clinch and on the ground. It wasn't really in the stand-up department.
The stuff when she was on the bottom and like the bomb she was throwing on Kayla was just nasty. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be like, it's funny because we're getting ready to talk about it a little bit with Kevin Holland. Like, we're about to see somebody else get knocked the fuck out from, you know, a fighter on the bottom.
Right.
You know, like, she was doing such great damage. But yeah, when it got to the end, clearly in my mind, I was like, okay, well, wow.
Yeah,
that was, I don't know if
got
that was a decision that PFL wanted. You know, I mean, it was tough. I mean, that was the biggest star, but I mean, there was no guarantee she was going to be back next year, anyways.
I know.
Mean, so is it good that your star gets beaten and it sets up the possibility of a rematch? You know, in that sense, it could be the best thing for PFL because now if Kayla really wants to grow, wants to learn, I was a little surprised. Well, maybe not. Of just how over emotional and how hard she sort of took it right after, you know, I thought that, you know, as much she had almost made peace in her mind that she was almost done with the PFL. But I think with this point, with that loss, now I can see where those competitor juices are going to be flowing in her head, where she's going to want to take that win back.
Gotta right that wrong.
You know, even though like Pacheco even said, you're up 2-1, you know, like, but hey, you want to run it back. Let's do that, you know. And so it's great for Kayla to do that. But, man, I thought it was just such a wonderful fight in the sense of it was great lead up. You had the one person I picked Kayla, I think everybody on our staff except for maybe one picked Kayla. But to see the fight go that way, I think everybody was just so intrigued and so into it. And I think it couldn't have played out any better. If it would have went like that back and forth, and Kayla won, I think a lot of people were like, oh, okay, well,
told you,
she was tested, but we knew she was going to pull it out.
Right.
To have it like this, it was almost like, wow, there really is some, you know, equalness in the other parts of that division. There are some people that can stand up to it. I hate the fact that people are coming out and saying, well, see,
Cyborg would have destroyed her. Amanda would have destroyed her.
Yeah, like, I was like, why haven't y'all been saying that up to this point? Up to this point, y'all bought into it too and just believed it. Larissa just came out and just did the thing, man. Like, she was just fantastic.
She's worked for 3 years on being ready for this fight.
Yep.
And she was.
Yeah.
And she went out there and delivered, man. And
it was great.
I thought it was great. And I will say, it was painful to see the emotion from Kayla. I like Kayla a lot.
Yeah,
man.
Who doesn't?
You have to. It was painful to see the emotion, but it's cool to see just the way she's carried herself afterwards.
It was almost better seeing that, because if she would have came out there and just would have been so super quiet, stoic, and just been like, well, on to the next one. But I would have been like, oh, man.
No, you see how much she cares.
Yeah, now you can tell she cared, you know, and I think maybe at points listening to her, it almost seemed, not that she didn't care, but that she, in her mind, she had already worked 3 different possibilities of what was next elsewhere.
Yeah.
This brought her back to the moment of, oh, hey, did you maybe put enough into this preparation? Were you really enough prepared for this? You know, blah, blah, blah. And now that, you know, she's had this loss, now I think it's amazing to the possibilities of what this is going to do for her now that she's tasted defeat and she knows, okay, what did I take into this and what can I change for the next time?
Yeah. I don't think it's the worst thing for the PFL either. You know what I mean? Because it does set up a massive rematch between them. And it sounded like Kayla was going to do her final 2 fights next year and leave anyway and go. And maybe that'll change. Maybe she'll stay. But if nothing else, like you said, you kind of gave somebody else the rub, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now you got somebody else that's talented. And it had a lot of people talking. And I'll tell you what, man. After leaving, you know, New York and flying home and thinking about it, and again, this was the first one I was at, so maybe it gave me a little bit different feel, but it seems like everybody that was watching online, you know, enjoyed the product as well, but it made me feel really good about kind of where MMA is at right now, man. PFL seems like they're better than they've ever been. Obviously, won championship this weekend. They've got another prime video card. Feels like they're better than they've ever been. I know people are frustrated with Bellator in terms of, you know, I don't see as much of it because it's on Showtime and that sort of thing, but they still have some fantastic fights and some big million-dollar tournaments, and, you know, they're signing talent. You're starting to see these Russians come in that you've never heard of that are like 17-0, and you watch them, you're like, oh my God, this dude's an absolute stone cold killer. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. It's good. I mean, the UFC, still the dominant brand, no question about it. UFC is, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. But when you have all these other options where people can get paid and make money and work, it's good. It's
those
good
big
for the
numbers,
sport.
Those big numbers is what attracts, you know, you got people off to the side like, oh, my goodness, six fighters are going to win $1 million. Me being the skeptical in my head, I'm like, okay, now we're going to have what, New York taxes?
I know.
Then they're going to have U.S. taxes. I was like, I know. None of these mofos are walking away with $1 million.
I know. It's all like foreign champs too, right?
I felt
so they're
so
all
bad
paying international taxes.
I
think you
could so
file and
bad.
Get it back though if you get it paid through
eventually,
your LLC.
I'm sure. Yeah. They all have LLCs. Yeah. Every single one of them has LLCs already set up and ready to go. But yeah, I thought about that. But still, I mean, it's life-changing money. And even just they'll have that memory. They're going to have that bragging. Whether they walk away with $500,000, $750,000, it's all life-changing money for most of those fighters.
This is what I said on the and a half episode and the way I felt it. Because it is cool to see six fighters' lives change right in one night. Especially because the selection of fighters that did it, man, these people all had like real journeys. It wasn't some flash in the pan or whatever. So it was really cool. But what I said was, look, it's not like I never have to fight again or never have to work again money. But think about if somebody walked up and handed you money and said, hey, you know what? Go ahead. Pay off your house right now.
Yep.
Pay off your vehicles. Make sure that any
debt you've
got.
Pay back those coaches.
Gone, make sure that any debt you have, all your credit cards are gone. Make sure all that's – make sure you're completely out of debt. And go ahead and have a little nest egg for a little bit of investment in a business that you've been thinking about.
Yeah.
And then keep going. That's it. You know what I mean?
Like, you start the new year completely as
if I had
new.
No mortgage payment, no car payment, no debt payments, like – I wouldn't have to make very much money to survive, you know what I mean? But with those things,
well, until
you do,
Daniela wants to go on that next trip.
Until she wants to go to New York again, and then I definitely need to win another Grand Prix, you know what I'm saying?
But you're right. I mean, and when you think of it like that, like, who wouldn't want that opportunity? And that's every single one of them, you know, like, obviously, you know, it's great to think like, oh, you know, you got $1 million, but even if you have the taxes, but yeah, what they're able to take away from that, like you said, it's like a fresh start. It's a brand new just to be reinvigorated and to have no debt, no whatever.
Pretty cool.
How cool would that be?
Yeah.
Like,
pretty cool.
I'm like, can we please get my student loans canceled? How good would I feel, let alone a big old check with extra zeros on the end of it, you know?
Would you have taken a fight at the end of Train Alta if you could get your student debt erased?
Fuck
if you were
yes. 100%. I already got the darn email that says, like, your thing's been approved. We're just waiting for this stupid legal challenges.
Oh, so are you getting it wiped out?
I think if it – I have a Pell Grant, so I will get 20 grand out. Right now I have $30,000 outstanding.
So that'll knock it down to 10 grand.
If it goes through, hopefully.
That's huge. That's huge.
It's outrageous. Where's my big check? I feel like I have a big check just waiting, waiting. They're sitting in the cage waiting to flip it over with my name.
Good for you, man. Yeah. That's awesome. That's good news.
But it's like such a huge tease. It's like they sent the thing like, oh, you've been approved. And I'm just like, but it didn't. And even then, I'm like, I know I've at least been approved for the 10. I did get the Pell. Like, I should be the full 20 or whatever. But again, it's all nothing until it passes. It can get completely shut down, and I was like, well, that was almost a really cool
cause
thing.
It's not all the way done.
No, I mean, because there's legal challenges by Florida and a couple states, you know. Obviously the states, they're trying to say, oh, you're hurting our money, because if we can't make these people pay us, we're going to lose part of our income that we could blah, blah. I'm like, that's cool, fuck that state, screw them. How about us? I don't live in that state. I don't live in that state, but obviously
Nevada. Are we all cool with it here in Nevada?
We're cool.
Are we good?
We're cool. We're out in the Wild West, dog. But, you know, they're trying to make it so that it's good for everybody, but whatever. You asked about Alta. If you could clear my debt and I would take that fight 100%. What's so funny is that the guy I went to Alta with is the guy that they wanted me to fight. It's funny.
You'd have been training your training partner.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man. Because I got
that was like the former defensive lineman.
No, that guy, he was supposed to fight somebody else. He ended up, I think, due to injury or something with his family, he dropped out. No, there's this other guy, Mike, that was supposed to fight somebody else. But during the course of training, the coach is like, I know you don't want to fight, but I think you could really put him on him. I think you could fight him. And I'm like, bro, like, he's the one guy I think I really like out of this class. I was like, I don't want to have to fight him. I was like, and I told Mike even that night, I was like, you know, I was like, if you would have asked me to fight because it's the only way that you would have fought, I was like, of course I would have fight you. But I was like, I don't want to fucking fight. I don't want to, because obviously I'm going to want to win. And last thing I would want to do is take something that you really want. I'm like, I don't really care if I ever fight. But this is, he wanted to fight. So I think he might try to do it again. The next one, they're going to let some of the guys continue on the next class, but skip like the first 10 weeks for like, which is like conditioning and stuff like that, to let them try to do it again.
So they're already scheduled another Train Alto program?
Yeah, it's supposed to start, I think, maybe at the beginning of the year or something.
Wow. Because
this one was, you know, it's funny. I saw how a bunch of the other ones happened at a lot of other gyms, but the one here, man, was just kind of, I hate to say it, was just sort of mismanaged. And nothing by the staff here, was more like the Alta people just dropping the ball. Like, gear wasn't got to the guys till the very end. It was supposed to be 20 weeks. It turned out to be like 30 weeks.
Right.
You know, because they couldn't get the events right. You know, and that's a big ask. And that's why Oscar was so ready for that thing to be over, because it just kept dragging on and
shot
dragging on.
Shot past when it was the initial schedule.
So I think they decided, all right, well, we're going to fix some things, whatever. But they made the opportunity for the guys that couldn't find – that they couldn't find fights for, to give them the opportunity to do it again or something. So, yeah. But, yeah, I won't be in on that one. I wouldn't mind getting some training. I do want to talk to some of the folks there about just trying to go and just keep working out or whatever, but, yeah.
You can be like a mentor or something like that. Like, you know, I've been through this, so let me guide you through the experience.
But I don't have it, because they'd be like, but, bro, you didn't fight. So did you really go through? Did you? At least that's what I hear in my head.
No, no, you still
made
it.
That's what I hear in my head.
I guess while we're speaking about Train Alta, you got an update, right, on Oscar's Hot Tease fight that the broadcast is going to be released soon.
Airing on December 2nd. So Oscar does say – he did say – because I told him, I was like, bro, give me that footage. I want to put it on the Patreon. And he said, of course we could have it, but he's waiting until they air it. So,
they get to, of course, they have the rights. Yeah. They got to air it first.
I mean, we know all about, you know, airing things before things are supposed to air, and the possible legal challenges of
We'll send you to our team. EA Sports knows about it. Whoa.
Yeah, so I think he wants to air, but yeah, I know that you said that you got to see a clip. I mean, I'm really looking forward to see, you know, the whole broadcast spiel, but also be able to hear you guys call it, because we're on the opposite side. Funny enough, that room wasn't that big, but I couldn't hear anything really that the coaches were saying or that you guys were saying.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see how it sounds with the full bells and whistles and all the other stuff. It's funny, because I meant to ask you, now that I have you and you got me thinking about the Alta fight, what the hell happened on the very first fight? The very first round that was supposed to be 2 minutes, 16 seconds was up on the screen, then it goes away, and then we're like, why isn't the round ending? And it kept going and kept going.
Oh, my gosh. So I hate to put a name to it, just because everybody's going to go like, oh, come on. But the timekeeper in Nevada is Steve Mazzagatti.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. And I love Steve Mazzagatti. He's like the nicest dude ever, man. Like, he got unfairly just chastised by Dana all the time. And he's like a great, like, kickboxing referee. I think he's like a fireman as well. Yeah. And he's a great timekeeper. But I guess there was just a miscommunication on whether they were supposed to be two-minute rounds. So he had that it was supposed to be three-minute rounds. And to his credit, I actually heard the same thing. So I think there was some miscommunication over just what was going on.
Yeah.
And so – So he had it set for a 3 minute round, and we all thought it was two, and it was supposed to be two. And those poor guys.
So how'd you guys play it off?
Well, we didn't play it off. We were like, I guess we're just getting a little extra time. Yeah, I mean, you know how we do. We just call it like it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I felt so bad for those guys, because you know the adrenaline dump is so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's like, and it's always funny with these amateur fights, because I've been calling Tough Enough for years. In 2 minutes, when you first – you're like, 2 minutes? I could do anything for 2 minutes. But you get out there, man, and you're under the lights, and there's cameras, and you're getting punched live for the first time, and your adrenaline is insane, right? And then it goes to, you know,
they
got to
be thinking like, well, oh, my
this
God.
This is the longest
round ever. Why is this still going on? It's like, this is just crazy. This is just crazy. Because by the end, the third round, they were so spent. Like, they were just done for.
Oh, yeah.
Not as bad as, like, the third fight. But they were so spent. You know, the guy, one of those guys ended up going back in the back and getting, like, on oxygen.
No. It was so funny. And I this was over all the supporters over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. I've already heard this, because when we talked to Hot T himself afterwards. But, you know, Oscar actually was the next fight up, and he saw one of those guys walking back there who's just been through an absolute brawl that had an extra minute involved anyway, and is like kind of beat up and kind of exhausted. And Oscar was just like, what the fuck? He's like, I didn't. And in that footage from that Jose has, he's like, I did not need to see that. You know what I mean? Like, it was so funny. So, yeah, those poor guys, man, in their first round, they got stuck with, and I even think it ended up going longer. I think it was like a minute and something extra long.
Because
so.
The guys had to figure it out, and they're like, all right, when do we just call it?
And I think Steve was like, so what do I do now? Like, I think they were just telling him, like, just end the round.
Yeah.
Just end the round. Like, I don't know.
Because it did feel like it was even longer. I was like,
man.
Oh, my God. But, like, because I remember we were noticing, and I was like, bro, This is way beyond.
It was crazy.
But shit happens. That's live production.
It's live production stuff. And sometimes, again, it could be just like a bout sheet change or something like that. And it's sent incorrectly. And again, this was kind of a special promotion because it's with the not necessarily with the training. Also, yeah, those poor guys, man.
Yeah.
It was
speaking
fun.
Of, I remember I forgot to ask Oscar, but like, I was so glad I was able to be there to shoot the weigh-ins. How cool is it that they're weigh-ins and then to have Randy be the guy that was actually there in between them, like squaring them off?
Pretty awesome, right?
How cool was that? I love it because when Oscar got into that dude's face, Randy didn't even bat an eye. Just slid over to make sure he got in the perfect position. I was like, Randy's a pro!
That is pretty cool.
And
right?
I was like, and if anything did pop off, it's like, yo,
I think I got this hand.
I got this.
I got one under each arm. He's securing both.
I was like, that was the coolest thing ever. I mean, out of the whole thing, I was like, you know, if
on Fremont Street.
On Fremont Street.
With Randy Couture.
I was like, how cool was that? So cool. I was so glad I was able to shoot that for him. But yeah, I mean, crazy, crazy stuff.
So it was back-to-back nights, and that part of it was all like the way it started because that was the first fight of the first night, right? But it ended up being a fun couple of nights and crazy because I don't know if you heard about this, but the second night, and it's on UFC Fight Pass, so if anybody wants to go see the replay of Tough Enough on UFC Fight Pass, it's still there. And Mackie Pitolo and his opponent at the end, like the crowds, the fans started like arguing with each other.
Oh yes, I remember that. So I did watch that.
It was mad. So they actually
cleared the room, right?
Kudos to security, right? So they cleared the room out, which I did kind of wonder, like, clear the room out. Like, aren't they all going out there into the hallway? Like, you just want the fight out there instead of here?
Not in here.
But so they cleared it out. And then Mahoney and I were just like, well, I guess we're done. I guess that's it, right? And so we said, well, we better wait and make sure. So we waited because there was still one fight left. There was a swing fight that was supposed to be on the prelims, got moved to afterwards because we were running long on the prelims and we had a hard start time on the main card. So they brought those fighters back in an empty building. The DJ left, like, because he assumed, like, when it went crazy, the DJ was like, well, I'm out. So there's no DJ to play any music or anything. So they do the full – I hope
who
they take this
the
and
DJ?
Show this somewhere.
I can't believe the DJ just leaves.
DJ bounced,
like,
bro.
He doesn't wait for, like, the production guy to be like, okay, you're clear.
DJ was like, I'm out. He's like, they said clear the building. I'm out. So so they do the walk. I hope somebody taped this and it airs somewhere because they – did the walkout with no music and nobody in there. There's like, and it's me and Mahoney calling it, and I'm sitting right next to the cage, and you know my voice isn't exactly quiet, and so I just know that they're like listening. I mean, they can already hear what I'm saying anyway, I'm sure, but there's no music. There's no crowd. Like, it was weirder than, at least in COVID, we still had walkout music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't even have walkout music. It was the most bizarre thing ever. So,
and especially that room, it helped definitely having the people in there. Because I remember I couldn't hear you, but there was always just like a sort of that underlying hum of people talking and stuff.
Yeah.
But to not have that,
wow,
that'd be like that first like weird Apex show when everybody was like just super quiet
bizarre.
And didn't almost felt like they couldn't talk. Yeah. Like the coaches were just like, oh, this is weird. But yeah, I did watch that, and I do remember that. I forgot all about that.
It was a wild
stretch.
But
the guy was, I mean, he kind of brought it on.
100% brought it on himself.
You know?
He ran out of the cage to go confront the fans.
To go confront him, and then they were like, I was like, bro, like, there's a bunch of, like, Hawaiians and shit, right?
Oh, they
like,
were taking him,
what
bro.
Are you doing?
They were ready to attack him, man. It was crazy.
That was a good fight.
It was a really good fight. It's worth watching it on Fight Pass. It's good. So, fun times with Tough Enough, man. It was a crazy stretch of events, man. I mean, I look back, and in a three-week stretch, dude, I had the PFL in New York, which I wasn't commentating, but just to be at their finals and to have my family and be in New York was fun. But, you know, the commentary of
Tough
Enough.
You're just like a full-time commentary. Like, do you even report on the sport anymore?
I mean, I still do to a degree. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I'm trying to do more commentary. In fact, I'm not at liberty to discuss yet, but I'm actually in discussions with another organization as well that I'm going to start working with next year. So, I'm trying to do more commentary. I mean, I would have still liked to report on the sport and do commentary, but somebody decided that they weren't that interested in that for me. So, it is what it is. All right, listen. December 2nd, BN Sport. So if you have that channel, BN Sport, I don't know if they have streaming live. I don't know what platform is on, but BN Sport is the name of it. So check it out December 2nd. You can watch there. And then if you're over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, we might have
steal
some
it for you. We're going to try. try at least.
All right. Well, be in sport. Just hit us up. We'll give you the legal team. We'll let you know exactly where to reach out with that request.
I mean, we're going to put hyperlinks to your product on our website.
There you go. You might not see the hyperlink. It'll look a lot like some embedded video, but just know.
It's just purely... It's purely, purely your site.
Oh, man. All right, listen, sitting down to record this on a Wednesday afternoon like we always do, sometimes Wednesday evening, but today it came over right after the Mexico game with Saudi Arabia. Enjoying any World Cup at all, man? I know you're not a huge soccer guy,
I watched the U.S.-Iran game. I did watch the Argentina. I think it was just because that was the channel that I get on the TV behind me. They did switch to the end of the Mexico fight.
Saudi Arabia. About match, fight, match game, something.
After. So I did see the Argentina one. I've been putting it on as like background noise. I did actually, you know, it's funny because it was the USA game was right in the middle of like the work day, but I did sort of keep getting out of my seat and actually watching that game. As for the other ones, it's been more like background noise and stuff.
They're pretty early here in Pacific time, so most of the game, I mean, the games are like 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m.
I missed that US. I was so bummed because I would think when I turned the USA game on, it was already like 20 minutes in. Please don't tell me I missed it.
Listen, I love the World Cup. I know that a lot of people, I mean, globally, I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast internationally probably are big fans of soccer / football as well. But the U.S. audience, I know, might not care for it as much. But I mean, even if you're not somebody that watches a lot of soccer, I would definitely watch the World Cup, man. I think it's so interesting. I mean, obviously the U.S. game,
and it doesn't happen often. I mean,
once every 4 years. Yeah. We're having a good time.
I'd say it's almost more entertaining. Well, I guess I take that back. I was going to say some parts of it are more entertaining than like the Olympics. You know, the Olympics comes like the Winter Olympics or whatever. It's every 4 years, even though the two between the summer and that are every two. But there's just more variety in the Olympics.
That's
but
true.
I think I found myself watching this World Cup more than I watched a lot of the Olympic games. It's just kind of.
It was pretty intense today. The Mexico game, they ended up not advancing. But, you know, they were kind of dead in the water early, but they battled in. And, like, the Argentina game was going – the Argentina-Poland game was going the way they needed it to. Their game was going the way they needed it to. They got it to a point where there's, like, 9 minutes left on the clock, and they're going to not advance because of yellow cards, man. That was the tiebreaker they were down to, was because they had more yellow cards than Poland did, so they weren't going to make it. But if they scored another goal, they would have gone through, and they ended up conceding one to Saudi Arabia that kind of dashed their chances. But, man, it was a fun game to watch, and it was drama, and I love it. And, man, I'll have the kid up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to watch this. Saturday is going to be a long day.
Or are you just waking him up?
I'm making him watch it. Now, listen, my kid's 10 years old. He likes playing soccer.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's trying to play, he should watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so, just because, look, I mean, you need to know what it is you're trying to emulate when you're on the field or what have you, you know. But, you know, and listen, I'm already setting money aside, man, because 4 years from now, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico are jointly hosting the World Cup. My kid will be 14 at the time, and I really want to take that opportunity. You know, talk about memories and stuff. I mean, I want to take an opportunity to take him to some World Cup games. Ideally, I mean, you know, again, I think it all sorts down to how much, you know, tickets are and that sort of thing. But ideally, I'd love to go to at least one game in Canada, one game in the United States, and one game in Mexico. You know, one game in all three countries.
That'd
I think
be pretty
would, be,
cool.
would be a pretty cool
What'd
trip.
You think? It's funny, because I brought it up in the Junkie Slack channel, because I've only seen it a couple times. What'd you think of the Peyton Manning,
David Beckham, where
commercial.
The first time I saw it, I cracked up a little
bit. I thought it was a great commercial.
I thought it was a good commercial. He's like, I got you to say soccer.
Yeah.
He's like,
I thought it was so well done. And then I know some of the other guys are like, oh, it was great until I've seen it the bazillion time. And I was like, well, I haven't seen it a ton
of
times.
Wow, they kind of paid a lot of money.
They
kind of
paid money. But, and it's just so well done. But I thought it was just.
It was a good commercial.
I thought it was very, very witty. I loved the, you know, even the part, I think I chuckled when he was like, all right, go out and talk to the soccer moms. And I was like, yeah, soccer moms. And then the football fans came in. I was like, oh, this is getting good. But, yeah, I thought they did really, really good on that. But it's funny because, you know, you said the soccer / football, and it immediately popped in my head. And dude, what a really good commercial.
I thought
they knocked it out of the park.
Man. I enjoyed
that was
it.
Really, really good.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, man. So getting into the knockout stages of the tournament, so that's when it starts to get really intense.
Yeah,
and
good
I'm actually
job, USA.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a tough game against the Netherlands on Saturday, but I'll be up early watching that before we get into UFC on ESPN 42 and the 15 fight card that we have.
Lord.
I'm actually
it's a good fight card, but it's a lot of fights.
It's a good fight card.
Sean and Mick are like, who haven't we given a fight to? It's the end of the year. Who are we contractually obligated to give a fight? Let's put them on here.
Hey, look, to be honest with you, there probably are some fights that were made for that particular reason.
I'm sure there are, but there are some really good fights on there. I mean, it'd be one thing, it'd be kind of just tongue-in-cheek to say that that's why they did it, because when you look at the matchups, there's some really good matchups.
Oh, there's some great matchups.
Top to bottom, it's a really good
card. I don't mean that as an insult, but it's just, it's honest truth, because now, in this ESPN era, now remember, we've got UFC 282 next week, then we've got the December 17th card, and then there's like a month, right? Yep. So if you don't, you know, that's a long stretch for guys that are probably like, dude, I don't want to wait until next year to get me a fight. Like, please get me a fight. Like, I got to pay my taxes, bro. Or you know what I mean? Like,
that's
get me a fight.
I mean, that's a huge part right there. I mean, like, a lot of these guys, I mean, like, when you're, you know, anybody that's an independent contractor and that sort of stuff, I mean, when they're not taking taxes out, you got to have that money ready by the time the tax man comes around. And if you're thinking
quarterly bill payment, dude.
And if you think that you're going to get another little fight and you start thinking like, oh, did I overspend? You know, that's the big rub of it, you know. But these fights like this is a good chance to kind of go end the year strong and go in strong into the next year. Like, this is pretty much your last impression that you're going to leave on the matchmakers, you know? So I guarantee everybody's chomping at the bit. Like, let me be one of the last things that they think about going into the next year. Cause if they're looking for stars, if they're looking for people that they can promote, what can I do to get in there and put my name in the back of their mind, you know?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely, man. You want a little momentum heading into next year. And like I said, you want to get a little extra money at the end of the year for that month break.
And there happens to be that, what's that thing at the end of the year where kids want all kinds of stuff?
Yeah,
you know?
You gotta buy
your
some
wife,
gifts.
Your partner might want something.
Gotta buy some holiday gifts. Gotta buy some holiday gifts. Well, you wish. All right, so UFC on ESPN 42, Kevin Holland versus Wonderboy Stephen Thompson in the main event. Good main event. Could be a lot of fun. Feels to me like a real crossroads type fight for Wonderboy, man. It just, you know, he's been the guy that's kind of not been as active lately, kind of had some losses, kind of been getting called out by people in the rankings being like, hey, man, why does he get to sit up here and keep this ranking when he's not staying active, he's not fighting anybody?
Yep.
And now, you know, he's facing this younger generation in Kevin Holland. And, man, this feels like a big moment in Wonderboy's career. And I'll be honest, man, if it's vintage Wonderboy, if he's still vintage Wonderboy, I think he absolutely has the capability of getting this done, because I don't see Kevin Holland wrestling him for five rounds. And that's, I mean, we've known from day one, that's the way to beat Wonderboy, right? He's got to out-wrestle him. I don't know that Kevin Holland, not that he can't out-wrestle him, I think he probably can, but it's not really like his thing, you know what I mean? Like, he wants to go out there and bang. And so I think it could be
a lot of shots. He might want to start.
he might turn into a wrestler at some point if he gets kicked upside the head.
Like, those feet hurt.
but I'm taking Kevin Holland in this fight. But I feel like win or lose, we're gonna know a lot more about how much Wonderboy has left in the tank after this one.
I think you're completely right. I did pick Holland as well, and I think it's just more of just not his swagger, but I mean, we've seen he's got great power in his hands. He tends to show up for these kind of fights. It's been in some of the really big ones where he's kind of fallen short, but it's in fights like this where, you know, maybe not as much as on the line, he just has these incredible huge performances. And I think we're probably going to see another one of those. But I mean, how can you not like the Wonder Boy? I mean, like, what's going to be funny about this is Kevin's going to try to talk smack and try to do a little something, have a little fun, but you can't get into Wonderboy's head.
Right?
I mean, like, he's just like,
funny.
That's funny. That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, he's like Sage Northcutt, but like a man.
Like his older brother.
Like his older brother.
His older brother. I was going to say, the only thing that keeps him from being Sage Northcutt, he's not like, thanks, Mr. Holland.
Mr. Holland. but no, I mean, that's going to be a fun one. But yeah, I mean, I hope that fight is what it has every earmarked to be, which is just a stand-up, exciting, banging fight. But I think if Steven is able to have that distance and Kevin doesn't pressure him, doesn't sort of keep it close range, and he lets Steven do all that karate taekwondo shit, you know, eat a few kicks upside the head, and Kevin's going to want to turn it into a wrestling fight. And if he does get him down the ground, I mean, we've seen, while he's not maybe the greatest wrestler, that's all the kid's been focusing on, you know, as of late, because he's realized that's the biggest part where he's kind of has, you know, sort of lacked. If there was an area, he's got great hands, he's got good striking. Is his striking going to look as crisp and as, you know, as finessed as Stevens? No, but you don't need to if you're punching really hard in their face, you know. But all he's been doing is working on his ground game. And I think at some point, if he just gets a hold of Steven, I think he'll get Steven to the ground, and I think he's going to have a pretty good time once he gets on top. I mean, I just don't – not that we see a lot of people be able to keep Steven on the ground either. He's kind of wily in that, where he's able to get up and get out of things, and people have a hard time taking him down. But if Kevin does, Kevin's going to be in a big advantage. I mean, we've seen him knock dudes out from his back. I mean, it's crazy.
I think it's going to be a fun fight. Like I said, I lean towards Kevin Holland. Now Kevin Holland is a slight favorite according to the odds makers, and I think that's 100% accurate. I was a little surprised at a couple of lines. I want to throw these out there to you. Rafael dos Anjos at -540 against Brian Barberena.
That couldn't have started that way, was
that
it?
That just seems a bit shocking to
that
me.
That is, because I initially was going to go Barberena. I did go with dos Anjos on that one. But I don't remember the odds being that big.
To your credit, you're absolutely right. But even, it started at -325, and it's now down to
– I thought it was like a 2 something.
And now it's -540. I don't know. And listen, Rafael dos Anjos –
does that mean people put a lot of money on Barberena?
No, it means they were putting money on dos Anjos, so they kept moving it higher and higher and higher. So
that people try to put the money on the other side.
Exactly. So at -320, people were playing the heck out. And I guess – I don't know.
That's
a
good underdog pick, though.
Right?
That's a really good underdog pick.
Feel to me like a solid underdog pick. I mean, if dos Anjos wants to come out and out-grapple him and, you know, wrestle in jiu-jitsu and clinch,
he has to.
He 100% has to. And if he does that, and it is completely possible, but Barberena is going to be swinging, man, and he gets in wars. And I don't know, man. Dos Anjos is the rightful favorite, but I don't know. I was just a little bit surprised to see that before.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And I'll tell you, the other one that surprised me actually was Mateus Nicolau at -380 or Schnell at +310. Now, listen, I know Schnell is a little bit unpredictable, might be. Snake bit might be another word. I mean, I don't know. Just seems to have things not always go his way. But I don't know, man. You look at the losses that he has to Pantoja, to Bontarine, to Royval. Like, those are some solid fighters.
Good fighters. Yep.
And, you know, and he just had that banger against Sumudarji. So I don't know, man. I was a little surprised by that one as well. I think the favorites are the rightful favorites, but I was just a little bit surprised to see the spread between them.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, because I did pick both of those guys, but I'm now looking at those odds. That's kind of crazy.
Give us the update on the pick situation, by the way.
Bro, I'm still up by nine.
Nine.
It was because it was close. This one, I picked, obviously we picked Kayla. I picked C, Sadabu.
Yeah.
I got lucky a little bit. Yeah. And then what was the other one I picked? I'd have to go back and look. But, it was going back and forth. I was like, I gave one up here, got one back. But, I'm still up nine. And I think but my count, there's what, counting this one?
Three UFCs left, including this one.
And then maybe like a Bellator.
And there's a Bellator
like
left.
So I think there was four total counting this one.
That's a little bit of junkie history.
Dude, that's kind of a
– I do
I
remember
like
from my time there. I spent a brief amount of time at MMA Junkie, and I do recall that nobody's ever been a two-time winner. So this would be –
I mean, I'm hoping I pad it a little more. I'm like, that's a pretty good lead. I don't know if anybody's went this deep into the season with that big of a lead, but I don't even want to think about it because I don't want to like jinx it or whatever. But I'm like, I'm looking at some of the cats down below at the bottom. I'm like, y'all supposed to like be following this sport, like y'all journalists. I'm just the video dude. I was like, I'm smoking them. There's some I've got beat by like 30 some picks or 30 or 40. I'm like, bro, you're not even in the game. Like, don't even talk to me.
Talking trash.
But I think
love
I'm 10 up on like the readers as well. Like, the readers always are good. Like, the readers always have been like right there at the top with anybody that's won it. The readers haven't been far. So they're still, I think they're tied with like what would be like our second place person or something. But I'm just like, I'm just trying not to think about it too much. Just trying to stay the course. But like this one, I did go Holland. I mean, I think he's the right choice over Steven. But, you know, like you said, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about Wonderboy on this. And he's the kind of guy that he'll keep fighting because he's in great shape and he's whatever. But, I mean, like, I don't think if he's going to go in there trying to say, like, I have title aspirations, I think those that's been long gone, you know, for him. But he's still going to be able to fight at a high level. But one that I did kind of go back and forth on, and I'm wondering your thoughts, but Tuivasa and Pavlovic.
Oh, man. I just hate to say it, because how do you ever cheer against Ty Tuivasa? I mean, Ty Tuivasa is forever in our hearts.
That's it.
And we love him to death, and we love to see the shoey and all those great things. But Pavlovic is a monster.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal. And it's funny, because I think last time I was like, don't ever bet against Ty, you know, don't do it, you know, he's just going to break your heart, because then you think you know the game, and you're like, there's no way this big guy is just going to be able to, he doesn't look like he's even trained for it, he just got a chin, and then he goes out and wins. This one, I'm like, oh, okay, he's going up against a guy that's really, really tough, really tough. But I did go with Pavlovich on this one.
It's bad because it's one of those ones that, like, you're going to get it right and you're going to feel bad about it. You know what I mean? You're going to feel bad
about it.
You know, you'd rather pick Ty and lose and be like, well, I went with my guy.
Well, that's the thing. I've homered plenty of times and it hasn't worked in my favor. And I was ready to homer again, you know, with that last Derek fight, the Lewis fight, you know, because a lot of people were like, nope, Lewis is not going to get this one. I was like, I don't care. You know, now it's like the same way with, like, Fortis. I'm like, God. Because if I pick against a Fortis dude, Safe's going to come into the press room and just be like, yo, what's up with that? What's up with that? So I'm like, eh. So, yeah, I know, I'm very well familiar with the homebrewing for a thing. But, yeah, I mean, Ty's like, how can you not? I mean, like, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an MMA fan that doesn't like Ty. I mean,
how could you?
The shoeies are absolutely just disgusting, and I love watching every time he does it. You know, like it's like when you watch that pimple popping show. You're just like, it's so gross, but you can't take your eyes off.
Sir, I did not watch those.
You haven't? No. Watch it once, you'll get hooked.
No.
But like watching his last, like one of the shoeies, I can't remember if it was when it was him or maybe Volkanovski or something. He pours the beer and he's like spinning it, and he's just like. Bleh. And then, like, I'm watching it, though. I'm watching it. I'm like, it's
the
grossest thing ever.
Yeah, the spinning part is ridiculous.
It's so gross.
But I did crack up. I saw the UFC reposted that where like, that somebody in a press conference asked Ty, like, how many shoeies he did. And he's like, I don't know. How many times the priest been to church? And it was like, I just remember him delivering that
That's
line
more than
just
a few.
Cracking up, you know? Like, he's just a fun personality,
He's so fun.
Man.
He's so fun.
But this is a tough matchup
for him. I mean, but. This is like one of those ones where, you know, you pick with your brain, and then if Ty does get it, you just cheer all the same, you know, like you just take that L. Like if he's able to win and he gets a spectacular knockout, I'll be so happy for him. I don't care that, you know, my pick would be wrong, but still, you know, at this point, you gotta pick smart. You gotta bring it home.
Listen, the rest of this card looks like it should be fun. Nico Price versus Phil Rowe is on the prelims.
That's good. That's a good one.
Angela Hill and Emily Ducote's there. Clay Guida and Scott Holtzman is on there. Michael Johnson and Mark Diakazi.
Like, what do you think about the Guida Holtzman? I know we've always been big fans of hot sauce, but how can you also not be in love with Clay Guida?
Well, that's another one. When I put the stylistic matchups together, I think that they pair up pretty well with each other. I feel like just Holtzman's kind of the younger, stronger version. But dude, Clay Guida. I mean, Clay's been, you know, on our Fury grappling events a handful of times, and he brings the energy, you know, all the time, and he's just such a good dude to be around.
Did you see that UFC clip that they just put out recently? It was like, there's only one Clay or something, and it shows when he's like. He's always up there burping during the fight, you know.
The montage of burps.
Burps and slaps beforehand. Oh, and there's one where he's getting slapped before, and it pans to this woman that's like right in the front row. She's just like, oh, her face. She's like, oh my God. And it's like the funniest thing. And then it cuts to him like burping in the cage again. I was like, it was really, really funny.
It was a good edit.
I don't know if it was on like a Twitter or if it was on Instagram or something, but it recently came out. On one of the platforms, and I just cried laughing. It was so good because that's Clay. Like, that's what he just does. I mean, like, it's funny because most people don't realize that some of the things that your body will react when you're up there doing stuff. And Clay's just one of those ones that his body always produces, like, gas and, like, the buildup. And there's no polite way of getting rid of it.
Gotta let it go.
So his coaches are chatting with him, just like,
And it's are always good ones, too,
and they're
bro.
So loud.
Dude, it's funny because his brother, Jason, has grappled for us a couple times at Fury Grappling as well. And so it's always funny because Clay gets to come out and slap him before the grappling match. I was like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Like, yes, he's going to do it. You know, incredible.
So good. I mean, that's another one. But, yeah, I thought of you on that one because I remember we've always been good with Holtzman. And I know that is he still under Ruby?
I believe so, as far as I know. I don't know these up. I like Holtzman in that one. which I hate to say because it's another one where you just want to ride with Guida. Like I said,
yeah.
Michael Johnson, Mark Diakese, Johnson. I mean, look at the veterans line up in here.
Yeah.
Dude, Johnson's
been
a big underdog.
Forever.
I know. And, dude, he has. And we've and literally watched that kid grow up.
I was going to say that, but we watched him grow up.
Because
when
him
he came
up.
On, he was like the young cat.
Just crazy.
And it's not like he's even that old now.
He's not, but we've seen it all, man. Dude, Jonathan Pierce versus Darren Elkins. I think this might be. I think this is going to be an entertaining fight card, but for us old school fans, it might be one of those ones where you're feeling kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because like Darren Elkins is the man, dude.
Yeah.
Like he's. But Jonathan Pierce is a stud, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, Elkins is a big underdog.
He's
now,
a big
Elkins,
underdog.
You know, Elkins has done some crazy underdog stuff before, but I mean,
yeah.
I think Pierce is the real deal.
But
so.
You're right. It never gets easier watching him take a beating.
It's not.
Watching him take the damage is never easy because we've seen him take some damage. But, man, how can you not like that dude? But, yeah, Jonathan Pierce is the real deal. But I think that one's going to be – I mean, how can those fights not be just a banger?
A little surprised to see Cortez and Hebus on the prelims.
So was I.
That's weird. I mean, A, they're ranked. B, just the marketability between – I don't know. It's a little bit surprising.
Did she and Brian tie the knot?
I don't know.
Because I saw it made in our Slack channel. I think she's changed her handle to Tracy Ortega.
Oh,
on,
really?
Like,
so maybe they got
something.
Married? I don't know. Maybe so.
I mean, why would you change it if you didn't?
Yeah.
But I don't remember anybody reporting or saying anything on it or whatever.
I don't remember that either. Well,
but
congratulations if you did.
Yes, congratulations.
If not,
two beautiful
well,
people. They're going to have some lovely kids.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely kids.
Lovely. Listen, not the only MMA this weekend. Of course, ONE Championship is back. You've got the double event cards. And once again, man, I think, you know, again, the one on Prime Video, man, on Friday nights, you got to be checking these out because it's in prime time. And there's some good matchups on there. You're going to see the debut of Roberto Soldic is on there. And he's facing a monster in Murad Ramazanov, who's undefeated. So, I mean, Soldic came in. I talked to him earlier this week, and I was like, dude, like, you didn't – I couldn't give you like a warm-up fight or something, man. He's like, I want the best. He's like, I came here for a reason. I want the best in the world.
It's awesome.
Cade Ruotolo's on there as well.
Yeah,
in a grappling match.
Fun.
Ruotolo's an absolute monster. I mean, a baby, but it's just an absolute phenom. And of course, you got the main event there with the light heavyweight world title on the line with RDR and Anatoly Malkin. So that's the Friday night one, which, like I said, I definitely think is worth checking out because you
definitely
can actually
some
see it.
Fights on there as well.
They know how to do that as well.
They certainly know how to do it. They do it very well.
The Saturday morning card, 1-164. Jarrett Brooks is on there. Brandon Vera, notable name on there as well. But Jarrett Brooks is world class, man.
Yep.
But I understand that one's a little bit harder to watch it at, you know, 5 a.m. So maybe you catch the replay of that one, but at least catch the Friday card.
Yeah. I mean, how fun. I mean, that's, again, it's going into another weekend. Like, if you got nothing else to do, there's plenty of MMA to keep you busy and occupied.
And I love it because they're not all, like, up against each other. You know, you've got the Friday night card. I hate when it's all on at one time and you're like, how am I even going to watch all of this?
Yeah.
But you can actually watch all of it. The other one that'll overlap is if you want to watch BKFC 34. That's on Saturday night as well, so that will overlap the UFC event a little bit. But some great fights on there, and I actually did some interviews with some BKFC guys this week. I didn't talk to Luis Palomino. I've talked to him before. Obviously, that's the main event. Everybody knows Luis Palomino from his MMA days, but he's tearing it up. He's number one pound for pound over at BKFC. But talked to a guy named Tom Schoaf, who I just loved his attitude, and I loved his I don't know, kind of his growth, I guess. He started out at like 1-3 in BKFC, but like kept improving and is on a little run there. And now is, you know, fighting the number one pound for pound guy for the title. And then Francesco Ricci versus David Mundell for the co-main event. There's some other notables on there as well. One of the Liebarger twins is on there. So, you know, some BKFC as well is something to watch. So that's kind of the major stuff this weekend. And then, of course, next week we'll get into UFC 282, the payout, no payout for us. It's just a pay-per-view, I should say. but the final pay-per-view of the year out here in Las Vegas. And I did find out today, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but our man Simon Head is going to be in town. So
I did, just by accident.
Did you by accident?
I sent him I hadn't removed him from my distro list on inside my Outlook. So I sent some message because there was about like some Gannett training that they send every once in a while, like training for journalists, and it has just different.
You sent that to
thing.
Me too, by the way. If you want to
today,
yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
I didn't see your email.
I wonder if I should sign up for these Gannett training courses. I was like,
I swear, I did a quick once over after I saw that. I was like, I wonder who else is on there, and I didn't see your name, but.
My name probably just blends in the background.
Well, there was
so
like
used to
10 people. Well, I guess that would make sense. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go and clear it out.
I didn't say anything, but it kind of. I mean, not like I'm going to do anything.
But no, he's because he sent me back. He's like, hey, I don't think I'm going to sign up for it. But hey, by the way, I'll be in town. I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's great. Yeah. So he's going to be in. I think he said he gets in Wednesday. Obviously, he's part of the Fighters Only organization right now, so he's going to be helping out with the Fighters Only MMA Awards. So he's going to be really busy Wednesday and Thursday, so I'd love to get him on. Maybe we can get him on an and a half podcast, because I doubt we can get him on the full version, because I know he's going to be tied up with the World MMA Awards, but maybe we can get him on.
I mean, how busy can that be?
I mean, it's an undertaking, bro. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there, of course, on Thursday night as well. So I don't know if they still have tickets available or not if you're in town, but it's at the Sahara this year. So, you know, it had been taking place because of COVID. It had been taking place in like a TV studio, basically, which it was cool of them to continue to do it. But, you know, they missed that big kind of feel of a theater and a crowd and all that. So it's going to be back to that first time in a long time because of that damn old COVID. So the 14th annual Fighters Only World MMA Awards, Thursday, December 8th. But UFC 282, all the big news, obviously, everybody talking about the main event switch up. You know, I guess the one thing I wanted to say, and I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast know and understand this. I will say I am a little gutted for Glover to share it, and I'm going to be real interested to see what the UFC does. But I think you have to understand both perspectives on this, because I've seen a lot of people. I've seen some people, not many people going at Glover, because obviously Glover's a legend, but I have seen a couple people saying, like, ah, man, like, how come you take one fight but not the other fight? Well, bro, that's a respected veteran who's making a wise decision and saying, dude, I'm not taking a world title fight against a completely different opponent on 2 weeks' notice in what may be my final fight against a much younger, you know, devastating dude. Like, I want proper time to prepare. So I 100% respect what Glover Teixeira did. But, you know, as people like to do, they like to go at the UFC and, oh, they did him dirty, et cetera, et cetera. I think you just got to understand the UFC, man. They need a title fight in their pay-per-view.
They
have to have a title fight. Like, no disrespect to Jared Gordon and Patty Pimblett, but if you put that up as your main event, they needed a title fight. I think they did what they had to do. So this is one of those situations where I just don't think either party is in the wrong. And you know, I guess it's way better to have a hot take and be like, F you or whatever. But I just think if you really look at it and understand, look, they have to have a title fight in their main event, and this was the way to get it done.
Yeah. I mean – I completely agree with you. I mean, I just to be one of those guys, I think if I had to lean on one side, if somebody was like, well, I have to assign blame to somebody, I totally understand why the UFC did what they did. But of course, you're like, man, that's Glover. You know, like, the dude had it. You would think that they would give him the opportunity. But 100%, this card would absolutely be I don't want to say garbage.
Yeah, you don't say garbage. No, it's a good card.
It's a good card.
But there's a difference between a fight night and a pay-per-view, right?
Because everybody been like, why the hell is this a pay-per-view? If you don't have a title fight on this, everybody would be like, why is this a pay-per-view? You're going to end the year on this? Like, no.
Yeah.
No thank you.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's the kind of thing when somebody's like, okay, I'm going to pay $79.99 for this, or I could have, you know, everybody was like, should I have paid that pay-per-view for PFL? It's like, PFL had six titles.
Right?
This didn't have one.
Right.
Until they made this one happen, you know? I just thought it was interesting, too, about the whole fact of it being a vacant, you know, did Jiří feel like he had to make it vacant? Why could they have not done an interim? Did the UFC force his hand?
That's weird. I will say that part of it is weird, too, because
– super weird.
Like, you know, okay, and I guess, you know, and hopefully I put in a request to talk to Dana, so hopefully get some more details on kind of their thought process. We'll see. Sometimes he does media, sometimes he doesn't. On what that was, because I mean, let the guy at least have the surgery first, right? Or see where you're at. I mean, like, what's the? I mean,
the most gruesome injury. But then when I see him on his Instagram, I'm like, he doesn't look like he's really in pain, or he looks like he's just like, hey guys, I'm super sorry, blah blah blah. I'm like, where's I want to see him in a hospital bed right now. You know,
I mean, of all the times we've criticized the UFC for going like, why did you do an interim? Like, this is dumb. Like, this is a situation where you go, okay, I get it. Like, this is the one time. All right, I understand.
Almost like if they're like, oh, well, people want to buy it if it's an interim title. You know, I mean,
you've done it before.
Done it before. It's still the same fight.
Do you think the UFC should have said, okay, so if Glover said, listen, I'll fight Jan, but I'm not fighting Magomed unless you give me an extra month. Do you think the UFC should have gone like, okay, then we'll give it to Jan? Because I think they really wanted Ankalaev in the title fight because of the win streak that he's on, because of the rankings he's at. And I think – I do think Ankalaev is – I mean, he was the guy that we all thought was most deserving, right? But we all said, okay, but Glover, the rematch. That was so entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
So fine, but like if they had just said, "Nah, I ain't live, you got to keep waiting." That do you think they should have like done that, or do you think that that would have been wrong too?
No, but I can see the fact that they want to push Ankalaev. This is the guy that he's been just pushing. I mean, you don't want to have him take a loss and lose the momentum and lose the possibility of what he can become if it's not for, like, a title, you know. But, you know, if Glover was at the point where he wasn't wanting to, you know, to do the fight anytime sooner, it does ultimately boil down to the fact that, like, this card had to have a title thing. If they were going to have it, I'm glad it is Ankalaev because I think this is the guy that most people think is a future champ anyway, so it's good to get in there. I want him to be in there against somebody.
Right.
It felt weird that it's kind of Jan because it's just like, where did Jan come back into the picture? You know, I would have loved if it was Glover in that, but I understand why Glover would be like, wow, this is, you're throwing me against the dude that's supposed to be there anyways, but and you want me to do it on short notice. It kind of makes it feel like he was the B side and they were kind of putting him up to kind of just take that loss and give it to the other one. So if you're going to do that,
I think Magomed was the guy they've had to have in there.
Yeah. Out of all the ones, the possibility of the three guys that are there, he's the guy that had to be in there just for the fact of he brings a huge fan base as well, but I mean, he just brings an incredible record. This is the guy that everybody's talking about. Every training partner that's trained with him is just like, this guy's an absolute monster. And I think most fighters understand that this guy, whether it wasn't now, next year he probably would have been fighting for a title regardless. But I think out of the three different guys out there, I think it's the right one. They just didn't want to wait on it because they had to have a title. I would love to see Glover be able to be rewarded and get that fight, but I can understand why they didn't want to wait.
Now let me give you one potential silver lining, right? Glover Teixeira wanted to have his final fight at Madison Square Garden, right? Obviously, this was if it was going to be his final. Now he didn't say necessarily it has to be a final fight, but you know, probably his final fight. This was going to be Las Vegas. The only bright thing I'll say this, because again, I do feel bad for Glover Teixeira. I understand his perspective, man. I don't blame one bit. But we are hearing that MSG is pushing for two events next year. They'd like to host two UFC events next year. And you think that November one, that's pretty much automatic. So you wouldn't think they'd want to do like September and November or something like that. You'd think they'd probably want to go like in the springtime, right? If we're doing one in the winter, let's do one in the spring. So maybe like in April or May. Now, I haven't heard an exact date yet, but you know, I'm guessing maybe like an April or a May pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden as well. That puts, I think that would put him right on pace, right?
And he's still right there at the top. Yeah,
I can see if Ankalaev or Jan, whichever one comes out victorious, you know, on December 10th, if you said to them, "Hey, man, we'd like to have your next fight, just so you know, so you can start preparing. It's April 17th at Madison Square Garden. That's what we're planning. 4 months. That's perfect, right? I mean, that's a good turnaround. So, I'm trying to look at the silver lining.
Because Jiří's, if it's the most grotesque, you know, whatever thing that Dana's ever seen, he's not going to be ready by that time anyways.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, it makes sense that Glover would get that shot, and I think that'd be a fight that people are into. And it keeps the kind of the ball rolling. So, hopefully they did sort of say something along those lines. But I can see, I mean, Glover preparing for Jiří and then having to take a short notice to Ankalaev, that sucks.
Yeah,
that's a terrible.
I agree.
That's a terrible switch up. So I can see
why. Send off fight.
Yeah, because it can be an absolutely devastating bad loss. Like he's going to want to go in there completely prepared because Ankalaev he's a completely different beast than all those other cats. You know, Glover tasted Jiří. He knows what that one's like. Yep. You know, so he could have been ready for that one. You throw that back short term, he's ready to go because he knows what he's going to be. But this is a whole different thing. So I like that idea. I think it's a perfect and it'd be a great send-off. And at least on that, it'd be on his terms where he's at least the venue.
Right.
You know, he has time to prepare
right
for
down
it,
the road from where he lives.
But it's at least at the venue that he wants.
Iconic venue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm hoping. I think it's going to look like – well, we're all a little frustrated for Glover. I think it's going to look up a little bit.
Are you picking – I know we're going to get ahead of it, but –
I'll probably pick Ankalaev.
I am completely. I mean, I know Polish power is always there, but this kid's on a different level. I don't know, and that's just going off. That's just not us saying, and this is what his training partners, and this is what other people that have seen the guy, and we've watched the guy fight. I mean, like there's times that I've watched him and did some sparring when I was there shooting and filming some other guys, and I still feel like he's just growing. He's still growing into himself. Yeah. He's still getting better. And if he's this good right now, man, this kid's going to get – he's going to be good, man.
Just so you know, I'm looking at the odds history, and it looks like it opened with Ankalaev at minus 200 and was immediately bet down to minus 250. So everybody's like, yeah, give me that all day long. So, yeah. Well, we'll get into all that next week, of course. Maybe we'll have a hot tea around. We'll see how his schedule looks. And maybe for the and a half over here at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, maybe we'll see if we can rouse Simon Head into speaking a little bit on that. Last thing I did want to – I just wanted to mention it, this Conor McGregor thing. Obviously, he's basically addressing everything publicly now and has essentially admitted to, if you read between the lines that, I got out of the testing pool because I needed to take some stuff to heal my leg. And, we talked about this on the show before, and I told you guys, like, listen, you can't hate on Conor for using the system to his advantage. Now, if you hate the rule, the fact that people can get out of it and get back in, I get that. I think 6 months of testing is probably enough. Yeah. But I will say this, and Conor said, hey, he's come out and said, hey, man, I got to get back in. I got to do two tests and then we're good to go. And I know USADA told ESPN, hey, we don't think it's likely that he's going to be granted an exemption. I will say, if he comes back and it's only two tests, I will have a problem with that. If he comes back in there 6 months, well, I don't have a problem with it. That's the system.
Already right now what he's kind of done skirting it on the outside has kind of been a little bit outrageous. But it's like I think most people are like, okay, you did what you did. The USADA allowed it. They wouldn't even answer questions when asked, like, is he in the pool? What's going on? Everybody's like, oh, well, fighter, blah, 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 blah. Privacy, yada, yada, whatever, BS. Do the 6 months.
Yeah.
Do it right, just at least act like you are playing by the same rules that everybody else has to, he's already, he's got that McGregor favor, he's able to go in and get title fights when he's not supposed to have title fights, other stuff. But in this particular one, if there was ever something that was set to create an even playing field, it's this.
Yeah.
It's the testing window, not being able to go in there with anything enhancing and not – skirting the system. I mean, look at the guy now. He doesn't even look the same. I'm not just talking about his body. Look at his face, his jaw structure. Everything looks different. And it'll be crazy if in February or March you take pictures and it looks again different because his body's changed. But he just looks so completely swollen, so different. It just boils down to it's supposed to be a level playing field. It's great you got money and you got training that you could eat the best things and do whatever. But we know that that wasn't just the case, But it's understandable. You had to rehab your body. You had to do other stuff. That's great. But then just do your 6 months and get back in when it's whatever, Like, I think that would be a lot better for the system because then people, I think this has another point for people to just be like, why are we following the rules if not everybody has to, What's the point?
That's why I do not want to see an exemption granted here. It's nothing against Conor. Like I said, these are the rules that are in place.
Yeah.
He played by the rules. I got out of the testing pool, and then I'll get back in when I'm ready to compete. And I said it before, when Anderson Silva broke his leg, and I said, look, if he had just come in and said, man, I'm 40 years old. I broke my leg. I wasn't sure I was going to be the same again. I took this stuff to get better. I think everybody would go,
the UFC should have just made that as part of their treatment plan.
I understand.
Guys, if you're willing to step out of the testing pool, this is the best way for you to get back in there. Can you just say, hey, I'm going to take out 6 months, get your exemption, and just go away?
I'm okay with that, but you can't get an exemption when you come back in. Because what would the exemption be is, like, well, I told you I was going to take illegal stuff. Would that be the exemption? Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me. So I have no problem with him doing what he did. I understand that he's trying to heal his body correctly and probably needs something a little extra good to do it. Cool. But do the 6 months.
We're going to give you 6 more months to heal it up.
You got to do the 6 months to do it. So that's all I want to say about it. Yeah. I want to see there has to be the 6 months moving forward.
It just seems fair because, I'm in no rush to see him fight.
No.
I like when Conor fights.
Yeah, of course.
I love the whole fight.
But there are matchups you have to see right now.
I can wait six months.
There's great things you can put. But
I could wait 6 months.
He certainly can
wait 6 months for a paycheck.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay.
He can spend time with the family and work on that rehab.
And the other thing, too, is I think this is maybe something we need to start talking to USADA about is, and I kind of always had a problem with it, but now I really have a problem with it, and you touched on it, is the fact that, and I get why they – I get medical privacy to a degree, but I just don't think it should be that difficult. Like when you're talking about transparency, and that's what we're trying, transparency, simply answering a question of whether a person is in the testing pool or is not in the testing
right.
pool should not be something that you can't reveal.
Right.
Now, can you say, you know, I understand.
Because that's not giving any information. I'm
None.
Not asking you, can you tell me the results of his latest test?
None. I just
At
need
all.
To know,
is he
actually
testing?
Part of the testing pool or
right.
not? You know what I mean? And look, and I've heard
right.
a lot of fighters come out and say, and aptly so, that, you know, one of the things that some of the fighters I've heard they're most pissed about is if he's not even in the pool, then how can he be in the rankings? How does he get
right.
to tape up one of those numbers? And I agree with that. If you're
right.
not in the pool, then you are not eligible to compete, and you absolutely should not be in the rankings. So he should not be eligible to be ranked. And again, so this boils down to transparency.
Yep.
And again, I know a lot of people are really, you know, yeah, I know USADA. I think USADA is doing their best to be on the up and up. You know, I mean, I really do. You know, Jeff Nowitzki strikes me in every conversation I've ever had with him as a guy who is committed to being as on the up and up as humanly possible whatsoever. That's just who he is as a person. But I think a change that needs to be made is they should at least be able to answer, is a man or woman in the testing pool or not?
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, they have clear rules that say, for this reason or this reason, they can be out of the pool.
Right.
If it's clearly stated like that, you should be able to say, okay, whether somebody's following those guidelines or not. If you can't answer whether somebody has stayed true to what you actually specified and said, how am I to trust anything else you say at that point? Because then
yep.
at the point, we're just like, oh, we're just taking your word on it?
Yep.
When you don't say anything? Like,
yep.
you know, that's it's just not fair. I mean, they're obviously playing favorites, and you want them to just stick it straight. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing they can do to kind of clear that sort of wishy-washy black eye that they've been leaving is just to force them to do the 6 months like everybody else.
Yes.
Or allow everybody else to just take the quiet back door. Because if he didn't file the necessary paperwork to kind of step away and you just did it as a favor –
Well, and I would assume that he filed the necessary paperwork. But if they grant him an exemption to come back in, like I will say that will be a huge tarnish in their reputation of,
yeah.
of being on you know the honest on the up and up and being honest and about everything. Because that
yeah.
that to me, like I don't understand what would be the exemption. Like I told you guys that I was going to take this stuff, so therefore I shouldn't. It's okay. Like no,
yeah.
if you stepped out, then you need 6 months to step back in. Period.
Yeah.
You know and. I don't know. To me, that should be pretty cut and dry. So I'm going to – and again, this is nothing as Conor McGregor. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. He's playing exactly by the rules.
Yeah.
But let's make sure the rules get played by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same thing. Just want it fair. You want everybody to have
a level playing field.
A level playing field.
100%.
Everybody
man.
Should be able to do the same thing.
100%, man. All right. Well, listen, appreciate everybody joining us this week as always. You know, if you enjoyed the discussion, you can take some time to rate, review us, leave us some feedback on wherever you're logged in and listening to. That would be fantastic. If you want to step your game up to the next level and support us over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow, where it's for as little as $3 a month, you can help support the show.
And it does support the show.
And it does include
keeps the lights on.
Exclusive
it keeps
access.
The website up.
That's right. We got some bills due that we're paying. So keep exclusive access to that. The and a half episodes that we do certainly would appreciate it. But most of all, if you can't do that, we you know just keep doing what you're doing. Keep
yeah.
tuning in every week. Tell
yeah.
people to tune in. Tell people to give us a listen. It's just two fun guys having some MMA discussion.
Couple fun guys.
So for all of you there. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for listening.